Welcome to the SEA podcast. I'm your host, Bill Glass, and this is your front row seat to the future of payments and fintech. We're diving deep into the stories, strategies, and innovations that are shaping our industry. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur, a forward-thinking ISO, or just hungry for real industry insights, this is the podcast you've been waiting for. Love what you're hearing? Make sure to hit that like button and subscribe. Let's get into this.
Today, I'm joined by two industry veterans from Mintum Payments. We're going to be speaking with Alexis Lichterman, Senior Vice President of Sales, and Jordan Stewart, President. How you doing, guys?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
So I love kicking everything off, every episode off with how the hell did you get into payments? So I'm going to kick this one off, Jordan, if you want to jump in. Just there's no college degree. We all fall backwards into this place. So how did you do it, man?
15 years or so ago, I was working in hospitality management. I had a schedule that was pretty brutal. I was working PM shifts, and my wife and I had just had our first child, and she basically told me I needed a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 gig. And so I joined South Bay local ISO out here as their office manager, and was doing a little bit of everything, HR, accounting. I was involved in a lot of kind of the executive meetings and kind of got to see, you know, how payments works through the different departments and hearing all the feedback, kind of being a fly on the wall. And then 15 years later, here I am still very much in payments. And yeah, no, it's been a blast.
Yeah. And I got into payments the way, you know, you get all good things in the 2000s on Craigslist. I answered a Craigslist ad.
Appointment setter.
Yeah. Appointment setter. I was like, yeah, I don't know what that means, but I can set appointments. And that's exactly what I did. I worked for an ISO out in Carlsbad, California, and I set appointments for them in my early 20s. They grew exponentially, ended up selling to Vantiv at one point. And I went from appointment setter into like their processing department and into management, and then just kind of went from there. So yeah, Craigslist.
It's all right though. I mean, those are kind of the fun stories though, to be honest, because there's some wild recruiting stories. We'll just leave it at that. But
yes,
the 2010 days of recruiting can be pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of just jumping into it, I was really super excited for this conversation. Obviously, all three of us know each other extremely well for years now. And, you know, we're going to be touching base on high risk, but like, I just kind of think you guys are doing something different over there. And it's kind of cool. You know, we've gotten to spend some time physically out there with your team and at the office. And it's just really cool to see kind of this outside in approach of we're trying to be different, and we're not trying to be this mega colossal high risk shop that like we still have some morals and some parameters. So I was really excited to kind of jump into this. So just building a payments company around people, I know that's a big emphasis for y'all. Kind of talk to me, why do you believe the qualities of, you know, just relationships, responsiveness, integrity, you know, why are those such strong differentiators for Mintum?
I mean, I think for me, obviously, you know, like I said before, 15 years into the industry now, I've kind of worked at 4 or 5 year stints at a few different ISOs. And so for me, kind of building Mintum out, it was more so about taking, you know, the things from those ISOs that I'd seen go really well and try and take advantage of that and repeat some of that stuff, but then also recognize some of the things that I think maybe didn't go so well and try and avoid that. And I think one of the main things for me going into kind of our time at Mintum was making sure that we kind of built a company that was kind of people first, with the people changing, right? Meaning people in terms of our employees, people in terms of our partners and our agents, and then people in terms of our merchants too. So I think, you know, for me, a big part of the success that I think I've had in payments has been tied to kind of my personality, my integrity, the way I work, the work ethic that I have. And I think that has taken me pretty far and served me well in the payment space. And so I wanted to be able to kind of take what's worked for me, the individual, and try and make that work for us, the company. And honestly, I just feel like it's something that's missing at a lot of ISOs, right? I mean, we're kind of happy being in that kind of small to medium sized kind of playground. I think that allows us to still have all the bells and whistles that a big ISO has. But it kind of keeps us grounded. It keeps us focused on the relationships. It keeps us focused on the service and the people. And we don't kind of lose sight of that. And I think that's been an important part of our growth.
I would say, Alexis, do you have anything to say to that? But I mean, like, damn.
Sorry. I mean, there's a reason he's the big boss. No, I mean, just to echo everything and also just to add, I think that that's, it is something that's missing. Like, I think that we've kind of gotten away from that personal touch. I think that everyone's focused on tech, which is great. We need to focus on that as well, but we can't forget about the people. We can't forget about the relationships and the close friendships that we develop with our partners. Like that can't go away. It's frustrating, when I was an agent to constantly be, oh, you got a new RM, and it's like every 6 months I had a new relationship manager and I had to build that rapport, and it was so frustrating. And I always like to say, like, at Mentum, like, we're small but we're very scrappy, right? Like we care about our agents, we care about our partners, and we're flexible because we are small and we have that like family vibe. It's cliche, but it's true. So that's the only thing I'd add.
Yeah, I think I think that's one of the things that everything moving to a such a SaaS heavy model, they lose. I mean, some of my largest deals I've ever closed were flying out there and just sitting at around a boardroom table, right? And or a dinner table and shaking hands. It's like just showing the humanistic part of it. So, kind of leading into that, obviously people first mentality, but like now agent first business model. What is Mintum's approach to I know support, communication, accountability, those are all big things, but like what is the whole goal of what differentiates Mintum versus the next shop, and especially the scrappiness between being an agent first model?
Yeah, I think Alexis obviously just started to touch on it. I think that scrappy kind of description I think fits us well. And I think because the people that we have, I've always been a big fan of kind of the saying of like having the right people in the right seats. And so I feel like we've done a really good job of building a team that, maybe it's a small team, but it's the right team. And then that scrappiness just kind of carries all the way through, right? So everybody here is working with the same goal in mind of trying to get the job done, right? Trying to make sure that the agents feel supported, make sure that they feel heard. I think for us, because the differentiator that we're basically going to is us and is the people and is the relationships that we build, it's imperative that we then kind of follow that up and we back that up in terms of how we provide our service, right? So we can't go out there saying we provide the best service and we're the best people to work with and then kind of leave you hanging. So I think there's an ownership part to it. Like I said, the hires are key. I think we go out of our way to try and make sure that we really are getting the right people and putting them in positions that they can be successful. And then making sure that everybody, from a culture standpoint and a work ethic standpoint, everybody is kind of working from the same, from the same sheet and trying to achieve the same goals. And I think that translates to our agents and to our merchants because they feel like ultimately they're working with people who care and people who are invested and want to see them be successful.
Yeah, and we're not looking at big numbers here, like, hey, we've got to sign 20 agents this month. Like, we're not trying to be everything to everyone, right? I think that's a big differentiator for us, and like leading with the agents, we make sure that we're a good fit for these agents, right? Because based on verticals, based on their size, like maybe it's not the best fit, but there are some that we're the perfect fit for, and that just feels right. And so, like, building the company around the people and the staff that we have is one thing, of making sure that everybody, we're playing on their strengths. But also, as far as the agents go, like, sometimes it's just not going to work, and that's okay. We're okay with that. We're not trying to to force ourselves to be the perfect match. And in turn, we find ourselves with, you know, agents that are really happy with the way that we work, and vice versa, you know?
And I think we touched on before kind of the integrity aspect of it, right? Like, we know what we're good at. And we're not kind of shy in sharing that, letting the agents or partners know. But we equally know maybe where we're not best suited. And so having, you know, the transparency and the willingness to let people know that and say, look, we might not be the right partner for you. That's good. I think people want to hear that, right? So many agents have signed agreements because somebody on the other end of the phone or on the other end of the Zoom has told them that we can do anything and everything, sign up with us. And the reality is, no, that's not true for anybody. And so I think we've kind of found our swim lanes, and we know what works for us, and we just go out and really make sure that we lean heavy into that.
So moving into more of the high risk type role of Mintum, talk to us about, at a high level, and obviously no secret sauce, but at a high level, you know, what is Mintum's approach to market when you say, oh, I'm a high risk shop, right? What does that look like, and kind of walk us through how that's evolved from opening the doors to now?
Well, I think the difficult thing with high risk is everybody has a different interpretation of what it is, right? So we see high risk businesses every day that agent partners are telling us, this is not high risk, this is medium risk, this is low risk. And it's the reality is, you have to go by the definition that's set by your sponsor bank, right? If our sponsor bank thinks it's high risk, then it's high risk.
Correct.
So, and again, that varies, right? Different banks see these verticals differently. But I think for us, again, it comes back to knowing what we're good at, knowing the verticals that we can support, and then leaning heavy into them. I think to kind of go back to the people and the idea of right people in the right seats, a lot of that is also tied to experience, and that experience as it relates to high risk business, right? So the underwriters that we have in place have worked at other ISOs as high risk underwriters. They know the verticals that we're submitting. They understand them. The risk folks that we have, same thing, right? They're coming from ISOs, in some cases, ISOs that I've worked for and people that I trust and have brought in to be a part of Mintum. These are people that have seen these verticals and are experienced in these verticals and have worked in them for years. And so the knowledge that they have can be confidently shared with the agents. I feel like, you know, if we have to pen a deal or we're working with an agent on a deal to try and get it done and try and get it over the line, they understand that they're working with somebody that is working towards a yes, but that gets it, you know? And then if we support it and we feel good about it, then we're willing to go to our sponsor bank and say, hey, well, this is a deal we want to get done, and here's why. And having that experience and having that knowledge allows us to kind of, you know, fight for it through all the different kind of channels as needed.
Yeah. And I think too, it's one thing to say you're a high risk shop, right? And it's subjective. And
very
it a lot of times is, you know, then you get people throwing things at a wall and see what sticks. Like, we don't, again, we're a smaller team, right? We don't have the bandwidth to just work every single quote unquote high risk deal. Like, we know what we're good at. We know the verticals that fall into a high risk category, but that we're really good at. And we really do stick to those verticals, I would say. You know, there are times when we stray if it's a, you know, a super solid opportunity and, you know, the package looks great, but let's, you know, call it for what it is. Like, we have our verticals that we're good at. They're considered high risk. We're not going out to market being like, we're a high risk shop. We're an ISO that specializes in these verticals that are considered high risk. It's just reframing it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm sticking with you for a second. So going from agent to like leading a agent channel, you know, led by, you know, a direct bin, what drew you to just being so in love with that kind of hard to place type business role? That challenge, I guess, is a good way to put it.
I'm a glutton for punishment. No.
to a certain level sometimes.
You know what? I mean, I think it really was like my first role in payments was at just a traditional ISO. We were leasing credit card terminals. They were just mom and pop shops like Main Street USA, right? And that's fine. And it's still payments, and that was exciting. But when I went into my next position at a quote unquote high risk shop, like I saw this whole new world of businesses that were legitimate businesses that were in categories that banks deemed high risk. And as a consumer, right, we don't even think about that. Like when you're going to a smoke shop, like you're not thinking about how they got their credit card processing, but all the work that has to go into getting that merchant approved was so fascinating to me because it really, like, you really did have to dig into the business and not only what they're selling, but how are they selling it. And I loved like putting the puzzle pieces together and convincing the bank, but because I truly believed that those deals were legitimate. And so I think the fact that, going from working and running an agent channel to then being my own agent office, and then back to running an agent channel, like now at Mentum, I have such a different perspective of like where agents are at, right? I mean, like it's easy to sit at an ISO and see these deals come through from agents and be like, yeah, we don't want this one, next, next, next. What goes into getting that deal is a lot. And you already as an agent have tried to wrap your head around what that, how are you going to get this through underwriting? Like, what do you need to present to your ISO to submit this? You've already done that work. And so once it gets to us, like, we need to take that seriously. And I think that's the shift for me, was going from agent to then back to running an agent channel was just like realizing that so much work goes into that lead before it even gets to us. So like, let's treat it with respect, especially these high risk ones that can be hairy, and let's try and work through them. Let's not just do, automatic no. Let's give it the respect and the agent the respect that it deserves.
Yeah, I think high risk. It's really hard for low risk agents to understand high risk, in my opinion. And it's just because they've been so trained to, it's that relationship sell. It's you may are providing, benefits, but you're not really providing pain point solutions. Where in high risk you are, right? It's putting this massive puzzle piece together. Oh, by the way, you have this cloud over the top of you called Visa and MasterCard. So when you put these puzzle pieces together, you have to make sure they're not going to be hit with fine after fine after fine or get shut down, et cetera. And I think Mintum's done a really good job of taking that all of those aspects into consideration. And this is what I was saying is one of the fun things about having this conversation is it's just really cool to see how you guys take kind of that non-traditional approach to it, kind of taking the black eye off of high risk, right? It's high risk is all in the eye of the beholder. Being say of that, Jordan, what was the biggest, I don't know if you want to call it a lesson or challenge, would you say going from that sales scaling leadership role to now president, establishing a bin, managing the bin, and managing more of the full operations internal team. Kind of walk us through that. Were there any major challenges or lessons learned?
I think I'd had exposure to a lot of those different kind of aspects of the business, in the previous ISOs that I'd worked for, but I'd never ultimately been responsible for it, right? So, I mean, I'd sat in the meetings, I'd had the conversations, I'd heard the input from all different, department leaders and that kind of thing, but ultimately, until Mentum, my main responsibility was for making the numbers go up. And so I've always had an interest in kind of overseeing operations, being a part of the financial decisions, like talking about the company growth and not just in terms of adding mids and volume, but just different, strategic approaches to growth, those kind of things. I just hadn't had the opportunity to really kind of spread my wings and do it ultimately. So, kind of doing the Mentum thing a few years ago, it was a little bit, jump in at the deep end and kind of figure it out along the way to a certain extent. It was definitely eye-opening for sure, going through, kind of bank contracts, ISO negotiations with multiple sponsor banks at the time. Working with attorneys to get those contracts done, that was all kind of new experience for me. Going through the integration with TSYS and, understanding that there's, well, there's the kind of the dead period at TSYS where nothing gets done and trying to understand. I'm trying to understand, well, why is that, right? Like,
Makes no sense.
Yeah, why does this exist and why do we all have to adhere to it? And it just means that we can't go live for X number of months, right? Just having to wait for the sake of waiting. Like that was all new to me. The management side of it is not that much different in my mind. Like the reality is I've built and managed sales teams, no different than building and managing underwriting teams and risk teams and finance teams and whatever it may be, right? In my mind, again, it's people and it's understanding what the job is and making sure that you have the right people to get those jobs done. I think the getting the process started was definitely the kind of the big lift and trying to just kind of wrap my head around things that ultimately I hadn't really been kind of responsible for previously. I love that this was the direction that we went, and ultimately I'd got the opportunity to do that because, from a personal standpoint, I think it just makes me more well-rounded. It means I've seen more. It means I've been a part of more. So I appreciate the opportunity to have gone through it and to have learned from it and kind of now know what it takes and what to expect if we're going through a new sponsor bank agreement or another platform agreement or whatever it may be, kind of knowing what that undertaking is going to look like. Is obviously going to be a big help. But yeah, I mean, ultimately once we went live and we'd kind of gotten through that process, in my mind, it's not that much different than what I've done before. I'm less responsible for the aspect of making the numbers go up. Obviously that's Alexis's world. I'm still very much a part of it. I still like boarding agents. I still like seeing the number go up. I'm sure we'll get into it at some point on here, but I'm still very old school. I like to write everything on a whiteboard. I have all my deals written down. I have our counts, all that kind of stuff. So I still like to be a part of that process. I still like to contribute when I can. But yeah, my role has kind of shifted to be more the manager of the day-to-day and overseeing all departments and not just solely responsible for the sales numbers, which is nice. Yeah, it's been a nice change.
It's a different kind of stress, I'd say.
Yeah.
N
Yeah.
nice to not have that stress fully, but a different kind of stress.
Yeah, for sure.
So going, talking about scaling, right? And what an awesome job the team has done. Talk to us and tell us a little bit about what it is, why it matters to Mintum, and ultimately how this is helping Mintum and its agents. The new LegitScript certification partnership that Mintum just did. Kind of talk to us about that, Alexis. What does that partnership mean? And talk to us about just in general what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited about this program we launched a few months ago. And, to back it up a little bit, I've been following LegitScript for a while now. They're not a new vendor by any means. There's a new buzz around them with kind of these programs and the verticals that they're supporting. But LegitScript has always been the gold standard of compliance when it comes to certain merchants. As far as an MMSP, I've respected them. They're solid. There are so many great MMSPs out there, and LegitScript being one of them, right? So when, Visa released that they, in order to be a telemedicine merchant or an online pharmacy, any business that is giving a prescription to a consumer, you need to have either LegitScript certification or NABP certification. And that was always kind of just handled by the vendors, right? You have NABP handling their certifications, and then you could go to LegitScript as a merchant. What was happening with the telemedicine boom, post-COVID, LegitScript got so backed up in this queue with certifications. And it became a huge roadblock for merchants wanting to get into this space. They get all their ducks in a row, they're ready to go, and then bam, they go to get their merchant account. And it's like, you're not LegitScript certified or NABP, you need to go get that done. And then it was taking months for them to get that done. So they're losing the traction, they're losing the momentum in building their businesses. So when LegitScript came out with their enterprise certification program, I was so interested because what it really means is that us as Mentum have partnered with them as an enterprise partner, and we have essentially reserved codes to expedite the certification. So the queue can be anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks that someone is sitting in the queue to get picked up by an underwriter at LegitScript to start the certification program. With us, it's guaranteed within 2 business days you're contacted by an underwriter at LegitScript. I mean, to me, that's huge, right? Like for these merchants, like I said, they've built their entire websites. They've got their operation ready to go. They have that momentum. Let's just keep it going, right? And we're able to do that for them. So we're really excited, especially, you know, it's, we have to mention peptides. I mean, everybody knows about peptides. Now, like, what peptides are we talking? You know, you have a lot of these merchants getting into peptides that then want to move into telemedicine. And this is a way for them to get there quickly, and to be compliant, do things the right way, but not slow down their business. So we're really excited about it. You know, they're going to be doing like a quick little spotlight on us coming soon. So yeah, we'll keep you guys posted on that.
Awesome. Getting into our last little subject here, which is a fun one, AI embedded payments and kind of the future of what the agent looks like. AI, have you guys done anything with AI outside of, you know, just using it for personal use or anything like that? Like, have you guys built any type of AI automation into the Mintum system?
We have, more so on the operation side. Yeah. So there's some automation being utilized within our underwriting process. We've got some AI activity that we use kind of on the risk side too, just in terms of helping us generate bank reporting, summarizing the reports, providing all that detail. So we're definitely using it. I think, you know, my take on it is it's a tool. It's not going away. And I think, you know, the ISOs that are ultimately using it, you know, they're using it best or using it to expedite and improve their processes. I don't know, in my mind, I don't know that it's replacing anything. I think it's just helping to expedite and improve. I think, and that's the kind of the approach that we've taken so far. Obviously, kind of, we started this whole conversation with me leaning heavily into kind of the people and the relationships aspect of thing. To me, that's not going away. I think, you know, we can involve AI and all the tools in the world, but at the end of the day, you know, people still need to be able to get a hold of somebody. You know, people need to be able to call me, call Alexis, get something done. And AI ultimately is just not going to replace that. So I think it's important. I think it's here. I don't think it's going anywhere. And I think, you know, the ISOs that have the most success are going to be the ones that use it to improve what they're already doing, not necessarily replace anything.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to let you kind of go, but whatever you respond with, talk to us a little bit also about what the agentic commerce piece. I know that's a buzzword for you and you've talked about it a few times. Kind of talk to us about what that is looking at more in the sales environment as well.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was going to get into, you know, on the business operations side. I mean, AI and automation is key. You have to be using it. It is what it is. And people who say, like, we don't want to use AI, like, you're already using it in some capacity. You probably just don't know it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere. But with the agentic commerce, really that's on the merchant side of things, right? So right now people are using these AI tools to compare products. They're ultimately using it to sometimes buy products on their behalf. So how, as a merchant, specifically in e-commerce, like, how are you setting your site up to communicate with AI, right? And I think that's something that smaller e-commerce businesses could get lost in. This is that they're not collecting customer reviews, which are huge, right? I mean, you go on Amazon and there's already an AI overview for you, like, on that product. And it's pulling information from, you know, the description, it's pulling information from reviews, and it's putting it in a nice little package for you so you can read, you know, if you want, and to see if you want to buy that. E-commerce merchants need to do that. You need to make sure that your product descriptions are accurate, that there's enough content there for AI to read. You need to make sure that there are plenty of reviews that AI can read. You need to make the checkout process very easy, because it's still a machine. And if it's clunky, it's going to kick AI out. AI is not going to understand it. So you have to think about that when you're building your sites and you're putting your business together, because people are using it. It's happening more and more every day. And then as far as the AI agents on the support side of things too, you know, just being at the different shows this year and at SEAA, like, you see them, they're there, right? We have new companies that are popping up that are offering your AI agents for your support teams, for your agent support, for your underwriters. I think that ISOs, you know, would would be naive to think that they shouldn't use it at all. And to Jordan's point, like, use it to improve your operations, not to replace, but you definitely need to do your research on what it on what's going on, because it will hurt you if you just turn a blind eye to it and say, no, we're not using it.
Yeah, I think internally for us, we have kind of the philosophy that AI is built to create efficiencies, not replace employees.
Right. Exactly.
And so, you know, if I can take a 45-minute task for an underwriter and create efficiencies using AI to now take that 45-minute workload down to 15, that's a win. That's three files now. Yeah. So, like, you know, that's the way we look at it. And I think we started this conversation off right. It's all about the people. And I think you're going to be a see, not just, hey, it's not going anywhere. I think you're going to see a big surge for it coming back. For any doctor's office that is listening to this, if you put AI as your answering service, you will lose your customers. I just went through this, and it is so frustrating just to be able to talk to someone and be like, hey, I just had surgery. I have a question. Blah, blah, blah. It's just so frustrating. So I think both of y'all said this, right? Like AI, I don't see AI being able to replace support. Not at least in the next 10 years, maybe next 5 years. But, you know, I just don't see that. And to use AI for sales, I just always chuckle, especially in the payment spaces. We're kind of like insurance. Like, yes, people will go online and just sign up. Look at Square, look at Stripe. They did a good job of proving that market. But people still want to shake hands. You know, you have a $250,000 a month account. Like, they're going to want to shake your hand. They want someone to scream at.
Right.
Let's talk about embedded payments. You know, as that just kind of pre-AI craze, I feel like that was the big craze, and it still kind of is. You know, what does that look like, not just for ISVs and softwares, but, you know, for the market in general? What are you guys seeing around the embedded payment space? Are you guys launching any embedded payments as maybe its own rail? Or are you guys looking at any of that stuff? Talk to us about that.
We honestly kind of go as our agents go. You know, I think we kind of said before, we're kind of exclusively an agent partner based office. And so ultimately, you know, our responsibility is to make sure that we can support the needs of our agents. And so we have a kind of a wide array of type of agents, right? Low risk, high risk. We've got some that are involved in ISVs and embedded payments, some that are just still kind of traditional feet on the street, low risk guys. We kind of see it all. And so I think for us, the important thing is to kind of remain nimble and remain flexible and be able to support whatever it is ultimately that our partners need us to support. And so I think, you know, through trade shows, webinars, seminars, different things like that, we kind of stay abreast of all of the updates. And I think we stay ready to be able to kind of act as needed. I wouldn't say it's necessarily kind of a sales path of ours is that we want to become kind of the go-to solution for all things embedded payments. But we need to be able to support it if and when the need comes. And that's kind of, you know, true for all aspects. Like I said, ISV relationships, POS vendors, whatever it may be. I think, you know, our goal is really just to kind of stay ready and stay prepared to be able to support as needed.
Yeah. And I think for, you know, softwares entering the market, embedded payments is clearly a great revenue stream for them. I think the biggest issue that ISVs come up against is just their distribution channel, right? A sales team is expensive. If you want to hire an in-house sales team to push your product and your software, that's a big lift. And are you the people to do it, right? A lot of times people who are building software are not salespeople, right? Mm-hmm. So they can have the best software out there, but without a distribution channel and good salespeople, like, nobody's going to see it. So I think that as ISVs and, you know, software companies start embedding payments into their products, they need to think about that first. Like, all right, and how are we going to get this to market? How are we going to really capitalize on these embedded payments? And that's either partnering with an ISO, right, who already has a sales team, or are you going to have 1099 agents just like an ISO does, or are you going to go for it and have an in-house sales team? So I think it's just like strategizing, right? It's it's not just doing it because it's the buzzword and it's the thing to do. So let's just check it off the list. It's like, no, you have to be strategic about it. And how are you going to take it to market?
Yeah. Moving to the agent, right? Like the current and future piece of the agent. Do you feel like you're seeing a lot of the buzz around the 3 to 5 year people in the industry now, quote unquote, wanting to become their own ISO?
Yes. Yeah. I just sat on a panel regarding this. It's very easy as an agent to think that you can do it on your own, right? Yep. And that you don't need an ISO. I've been there. I've been on both sides, and I can tell you that having our own bin, being a wholesale ISO, is a huge undertaking for an agent. Not saying you can't do it, but is it worth it? Right? Like, is it really something that you want to do? I think that the future of agents really needs to be, instead of focusing on just going big, I'm just going to become my own ISO, I'm going to get my own bin, and I'm going to be able to do whatever I want. Let's focus on something first, right? Like, specialize in a vertical, let's say. Start tackling that and use your ISO, use the support, use their underwriting, use everything that they've already built and spent a lot of money building to really become an expert in that vertical. And then once you've got that solid portfolio, like, then think about if you want to take that next step. But I think it's really easy to just think like big, let's go big or go home, like right away. And I don't think that's the smart way to scale. I think that you lean on your ISO, you know, and that's where Mentum comes in. Like, we're here for those agents that really want to scale and want to use our people, our platforms, our expertise to really grow their business before they take that next step.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add to that too is, you know, I think a lot of times the desire to go from agent to I'm just going to become an ISO and do it myself, it is a lot of times probably predicated on sales performance, right? And so the idea being that, well, we write a lot of deals, and so therefore we may as well just become an ISO. But the deal part of it really is almost kind of a small part of it. In reality, once you get to the other side and you're actually an ISO, you know, it's the financial lift in the beginning. It's the reserves. It's the losses and liability. It's the compliance aspect of it, right? And the security around everything. All the things that you're now responsible to your sponsor bank for, right? You know, I think a lot of agents say, well, we do the underwriting. Well, no, you don't, right? You do the pre-underwriting, you scan it, you review it,
right?
But the real underwriting is happening at the ISO because it has to. So I think there's just a lot more to it than oftentimes agents think. And so, yeah, as Alexa said, it's a massive lift. And so I think utilizing an ISO that gives you the opportunity to kind of step through it so that you can start to kind of get a feel for what that looks like and what it consists of is probably the better place to start. And then look, if you hit it out the park and things are great, then yeah, go become an ISO, go do it yourself. That's, you know, it's something that we decided to do. And I think it's worked out well for us. So I would always recommend people go that route. But I think understanding what all goes into it and making sure that you do it right is important for sure.
I also think that it's really hard. I think you nailed it when you said it's typically a very sales heavy environment, right? A shop that is good at putting 20, 30, 40 deals up a month, and they can go that route. I think the biggest battle is also what both of y'all touched on, and it's the operations. I feel like when you look at your day, once you have a bin, when you look at your day, 90% of it is operational conversations, mentality, thinking, strategy, everything else. 10% of it is sales.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's the model. It's the agent model. Like, we're not out here having to go cold call and all that stuff. We're here to support the agent. So I think that that's probably the most misunderstood part, is that it's actually easy in this business to go get deals. It's really hard to retain and operate those deals.
Yeah.
So where would you say, do you think technology continues the run that it does, and agents should focus more on being more robust? Or do you think that also falls back onto trust your ISO, believe in your ISO, leverage your ISO?
I think both. I think it depends on the ability of the agent. I think it depends on the audience that the agent has, right? I mean, we, like I said before, we've got partners that are successful and do a decent job. They send us a good number of deals a month with very little kind of tech involvement, right? Their approach is kind of, I would say, still very old school. They're going to merchants, they're talking to them, they're getting the application signed, and then they're providing the best service that they can possibly provide and making themselves available. And that works for them because the audience that they're serving, that's all they require. But I think that we've also got agents who are dealing with a, you know, let's call it a higher level merchant base who have higher level expectations and have you know, quotes from different processors and ISOs out there that have basically told them, well, you're going to get this POS system and this technology and this feature. And so those agents are then required to provide that same solution and that same level of service too. So I think a lot of it depends on who you're selling to and what your market is. My belief is that there's still opportunity to be successful in all of them, right? It just depends on where you see yourself fitting. I think what is important for us, and I said the same thing with the embedded payments discussion, I think what's important for us is recognizing, you know, we've got a large agent base and they're all different and they all require something from us that is different than the next. And so the important thing for Mentum is to make sure that we're ready to be able to service those feet on the street, old school in-person sales guys who come in with handwritten applications and deliver them to us in person in the office, but all the way through to the most tech savvy, you know, embedded payment ISV solution driven agents as well. And so for us, because that's our model and that's how we've chosen to go to market, we have to make sure that we can service and support kind of all of the above.
Alexis, kind of give us a little overview of the agent program at Mentum, and then obviously, how do they get a hold of you and if they want to continue the conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, we're strictly an agent channel. We do not have a direct channel here at Mentum. So, you know, we're not competing with our agents. We rely heavily on our agents and their success. It's a very agent-friendly program. We are very flexible, kind of depending on what you're looking for and what you need and what your clients need. It's very straightforward. It kind of goes back to like old school agent days, you know. And we feel good about that. That's kind of who we are. So it's a very hands-on approach. You know every single person that you're working with. We welcome office visits, as you know, Bill. So yeah, if you're interested in chatting and kind of going over like the verticals that we specialize in, yeah, anybody can reach out to me. It's just alexis@mentumpayments.com. You can reach Jordan too, but he'll probably forward it to me anyway.
Yeah, my email is alexis@mentumpayments.com.
There you go. All right, guys, we all heard it. Reach out, have a conversation. They're doing some pretty cool stuff over there. I think you're pretty crazy if you're the type of shop that really, whether it's a brand or you just like having that merchant control, that conversation, these are the group that can be the engine behind the scenes. They've got some really cool stuff over there. So reach out to Alexis and Jordan, and they'll be happy to continue the conversation. And guys, I appreciate y'all joining me on the call today.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks,
Appreciate you having me.
Bill.